Robert Jordan is director of choirs at Portage Northern High School. And this year, a select choir called the Song Leaders Chorale will be performing a public concert on Thursday at noon for the Advent series held by First United Methodist Church. The piece will bring together the chorale, soprano soloist Caitlin Spencer, and a jazz combo to perform The Mass in Blue by Will Todd. Director Robert Jordan joined me at WMUK to preview the concert and talk about the Song Leaders Chorale.
So this is a group of primarily juniors and seniors that are selected by audition at Portage Northern High School. Most of them are very busy in vocal music, as you might imagine, but also very busy in our theater program. They're generally very highly academic achieving students, and they pass a very rigorous audition to get into this group. And it's a fantastic group to get to work with. One of those parts of my day that's absolutely fantastic each and every day.
About how large is this chorale?
This is about 7 voices on each part, so it's about 28 singers. Mm-hmm. And we have been very fortunate to have balanced ensembles in the past, 14 men, 14 women.
What does the season look like when you're working with them? It's during the school year.
Absolutely. So we start the year off with an end of October fall concert that we perform with the middle school students as well. So we give them a wonderful opportunity to see into the future about what their choral experience might be like at Portage Northern High School. Mm-hmm. And then we move on to a holiday collage concert series where we combine with the bands and orchestras. After that, we go to festival in March, where we get critical commentary from experts in the field of choral music. Then we have a cabaret concert in May, where we perform in a Broadway-style cabaret concert, popular music, movie music, Broadway show tunes, that sort of thing. And then we finally end up with a spring concert at the end of May, beginning of June, to round out that choral season.
So you're always looking forward to the next program, new music to work on. And they're also welcome to audition for one of the musicals.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Wow, that can keep a young person pretty busy along with all the rest of her work.
And many of them are also involved in band and orchestra, so they are very busy students. And I think they like it that way.
Was Song Leaders a choir that was already there when you went to work for Portage Northern High School?
Yes, it was. This goes all the way back to Marlo Crocker in the mid to late 60s, I believe, when the school opened. He started this group, and over many years and many great choral directors there, it has survived and flourished.
It must be a bit of a balancing game where you're working on their academic and sort of pure education and seeing them go from point A to point B, and also fit in ways to put them in front of audiences, which is also an educational opportunity.
Absolutely. I find that it's a great balance when you can strike it. It's a great balance, especially because I believe like that type of learning is complementary. The academic learning is complementary to the musical learning and vice versa, or any sort of performance art or even visual art. I believe that those types of students that can continue to improve one, it's going to have a symbiotic effect on the other and make them well-rounded adults who are also empathetic to their fellow man and woman, and just wonderful opportunities to listen and continue to grow.
Now, what is your background in choral conducting? What made you fall in love with this kind of music making?
You know, I think the best part about choral music for me is the idea of the group effort coming together to create something that is fleeting, that's only here for a moment, but that we choose to do it together. I'm also a solo musician, and that is very special to me as well, but I've always found myself drawn to group music making, and I think that's why I've continually sought out opportunities both in instrumental music, but also in choral music in groups, very similar to this one. And I'm sure that's what got me into the classroom to begin with and to choose this career in the first place.
Let's talk about the special work that is bringing together not only the Song Leaders Chorale, but a group of instrumentalists will be backing it up, and a very special soloist who's returning to Kalamazoo for this performance.
Yes. So this is a work by Will Todd, who is a British composer who is both schooled in classical music and also jazz. And this is a wonderful synergy of those two backgrounds that he brings, a setting of the Latin Mass in six movements, as we're accustomed to, but with a jazz twist, and with almost all the movements being based on blues scales, pentatonic scales, rather than the seven-note scales that we're used to in major and minor scales.
We don't see this every day.
No, we don't. It's such a cool twist. And when you hear the music, it's just very, very special. And if, we are bringing also together a jazz combo of professional musicians from the area, and also our friend Caitlin Spencer, who is the soprano soloist.
Caitlin Spencer is known to music lovers in Kalamazoo as a really brilliant soprano who was often featured on the Kalamazoo Bach Festival Christmas concerts and other performances. She was in demand not only locally, but also performed quite a lot around the region.
Yes.
And do you know her well?
I do know her well. We first ran across each other at Farmers Alley Theater, and we worked together on a project there, The Light in the Piazza, and which, of course, is a fantastic crossover musical for a classical soprano, as much of the singing is very classically inspired in that musical. Became fast friends because of her wonderful personality and her fabulous talent, and started working together in the school. She taught private voice lessons to many of my choral students at Portage Northern High School, and we tried to perform together as much as we could.
So Caitlin Spencer will be your soloist on Thursday for the Advent series at noon for a special performance of The Mass in Blue by Will Todd. Tell us how you came across this piece.
You know, it came across my desk, and I was looking for large choral works with instrumental accompaniment because of our collage concert that we do in December. It's always nice to find new music that can incorporate both instrumental musicians and choral musicians rather than simply an accompanist at the piano. And so when this came across my desk, I just put it on the inbox on my desk. I said, you know, there's going to be a moment when this is right. And then we had the invitation from First United Methodist to perform in this Advent series. And I said, ah, this is the perfect setting, the perfect moment to bring all of these people together to make this happen.
Well, the performance is this Thursday at 12 noon at First United Methodist Church. It's free and open to the public. And perhaps we can get an introduction to the opening of The Mass in Blue. How does he begin this piece?
Absolutely. So he does stick to the traditional six-movement setting of the Latin Mass. And in the first movement, the Kyrie, he uses an introduction from the jazz ensemble, the instrumental musicians who are accompanying us, and they immediately announce and repeat the material that will be a recurring and unifying theme of the work.
Wow. I had no idea that...
Isn't that great?
A sacred mass could sound so groovy and...
Yeah. It's, it breathes new life into it, I think.
I think you're right. I also think it'll be an eye-opening concert to go to and hear, you know, the sacred texts that, you know, we think of as more of a chanting, moaning sound.
Yeah.
With this American feel to it. It is interesting that Will Todd, is, you said he was an Englishman.
Yes. And, you know, using the blues is such a natural, I think, entry point here, as the blues features so heavily in the development of jazz music in the United States. I'm so glad that Will Todd dove into this to bring this to life. Especially when we think about choral music, we can't divorce choral music from Britain. It's a wonderful heritage of choral music. So I'm so glad to see this coming together across the Atlantic.
Tell me a little more about Will Todd and some of his other achievements, maybe.
You know, I was very pleased to learn that he is quite successful. And this work was first performed in 2003, and Mass in Blue was commissioned by the Hertfordshire Chorus. But even before that, one of his operas, named The Blackened Man, won second prize in the International Verdi Opera Competition in 2002 and was staged at some very influential opera houses, including Covent Garden. So this is someone who's equally adept at both classical music and jazz music. And I also read that Todd's jazz-influenced arrangement of the Christian hymn Amazing Grace, written for the choir of St. Martin in the Fields in London, was also performed at President Obama's Inauguration Day prayer service in 2013. So it's wonderful to see his work crossing the Atlantic so many times and in such meaningful ways for us.
It'll be a real treat to hear it here. I'm sure there haven't been any other performances staged anywhere near here for hundreds of miles.
I would assume that, although I don't know, but I would think that that is probably the case.
Now, from what I heard in this opening Kyrie is that the band plays a pretty important part.
Absolutely.
Can they certainly do. Can you tell us who's going to be playing on Thursday?
Absolutely. So joining us will be J.J. Treadway on piano and Joe Luckin, our saxophone player. On drums, we'll have Bradford Crossland, and our bass player is Kurt Melindy.
Great players all.
Absolutely.
Caitlin Spencer, of course, is the soloist. Tell me about the shape of the piece. Is there a movement that really has her as just a soloist? I know sometimes the choir backs off for a while during big pieces like this.
Yes, absolutely. And that's very much the case in this work as well. The fourth movement, I believe it's the fourth movement or the fifth, is choir only. But the other five movements feature Caitlin in a very significant way. I would say you're right. The band plays a huge part in this. And I believe that the choir is the bridge between them. They really occupy that middle space. Sometimes they're in the spotlight and sometimes Caitlin is in the spotlight. All in all, a great experience for these young musicians to be able to occupy that in-betweenness between a fabulous vocal musician and also a very groovy band, you know.
Always just raises the game a little
Absolutely.
Bit, you know, have that support.
Absolutely. And I think that what you expect of people is normally what they will rise to. If you raise the bar, I believe people want to please and want to get there. And I find that especially true at this age in high school. If we set the bar high, they will achieve it. And it's a wonderful thing to see something like this come to fruition.
There's also something so personally pleasurable about preparing a piece of music that is challenging and it requires all your effort. And then, of course, the pleasure that comes with joining together and being something bigger than yourself.
Absolutely.
You're asking a lot.
I am, you know.
Song leaders.
And with that, we've also seen such a high level of engagement. Like you say, when you have to use all of your facilities to do something, there's really no other choice. You're either in or you're not. And it's so great to see them diving in.
Well, you're diving in too, bringing these three elements together, a choir, an instrumental ensemble, and a soloist, and conducting, you know, a 35, 40-minute piece. How do you prepare for something like this?
Excellent question. A lot of it is time management on my part and making sure that each of those groups have what they need. So I have prepared separately with the students and the choral parts. I have prepared separately with Caitlin in terms of what she needs to have before she gets here. And I've prepared separately by myself to also be able to be that person that orchestrates it. I find that a lot of times the conductor's job is 90% in rehearsal, you know, but a large portion of that is you're the person that everybody looks to in the performance, especially in something that is as challenging as this. So that calm, cool expression of preparedness makes everybody feel better. And that's difficult to fake. So the only way you can do it is to make sure you're prepared. And in terms of my preparation, I've certainly looked through this large work that is close to 40 minutes in duration and thought about where are the places that it is going to be easiest to prepare the students? Where is it going to be easiest to prepare the band? And in my rehearsal schedules, which I have down to the minute, I put those things first, and we just run them. It gives a feeling for how it's going to go. It lets the band and the choral students get a feel for each other in the space. But we also know that it's kind of the less complicated sections. Then later on in the rehearsal, we really break down those sections that are incredibly challenging, whether it be technically for each musician challenging or challenging to put together. And those sorts of decisions and planning and time scheduling, all that is something I take very seriously. And I make sure we keep coming back to it and editing it.
I'm speaking with the director of choirs at Portage Northern High School, Robert Jordan, who will lead a performance of The Mass in Blue by Will Todd as part of the Advent series at First United Methodist Church this Thursday at 12 noon. Robert, what we just heard in the first movement, Kyrie, was the choir singing mostly as one. You know, they're giving a line along with the soloist, and the band was playing, grooving along there.
Yeah.
When we get to the credo, I understand, things get a little more tricky in some ways.
They certainly do. And in all of these movements, there are often opportunities to introduce musical material in a plain song fashion, much as you would imagine it in the traditional Latin Mass settings of plain chant. But then, of course, Todd develops those beyond those sorts of things. And in the credo especially, there are some very interesting and, because of that, often difficult to perform sections. After this plain song introduction sung by the choir in unison, it will swing into a 12-bar blues led by the soloist and backed by the choir.
Let's give it a listen. If you just tuned in, that is music from The Mass in Blue. So we heard a choir singing in Latin with a soprano soloist and a jazz band. That work will be performed in full this Thursday at noon as part of the Advent series at First United Methodist Church in downtown Kalamazoo. My guest is director Robert Jordan. wow, you get a real lift out of listening to that music.
Absolutely. And you know, this choir rehearses at 8:30 in the morning, and singers don't love singing at 8:30 in the morning. I guess it's better than 7:45 when school actually does start. But you know, whenever we start playing this music and we start singing, it just happens. It lifts us up and we get right to work. I'm looking forward also to having all those things happen in such a wonderful acoustic space at First United Methodist. It'll be a wonderful opportunity for us.
It is meant to be performed in sacred spaces, I assume.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think he might appreciate it being performed anywhere, but we are certainly looking forward to this unique opportunity to do just that, to put it right back in a sacred space, and to also learn from those acoustic challenges, because also for a young performer, an acoustic space that's very live like that can also present certain challenges. But we've certainly been preparing for that and going to different spaces. We went to the church that I'm the music director at, First Baptist Church, and we did a worship service there with different music, but again, a nice acoustic space. And then we're going to find the most live spaces in our high school, one being the auditorium lobby is incredibly live. And if we can sing it there, we can sing it anywhere.
You mentioned during the music that the students are pretty involved in their own direction. Like you said something about becoming obsolete as a teacher is
yes.
your goal.
You know, one of the best ways that I can know that I'm doing my job is when I can see that I'm no longer needed. And even though that's a sad place to be, of course, that's what we need to do for young people. We need to give them the skills and the knowledge so that they can carry on without us when we're gone. And I think in this way, this group, being a very advanced group, they have done a wonderful job picking up that responsibility in their sectional work. They have had a considerable amount of time to work on these as soprano sectional or alto sectional and so on. And they have brought back to me their three choices for in any particular movement. What are we doing really, really well that is consistently great? And we celebrate that. Then something that is mostly successful. 9 times out of 10, it's successful. And we think about why that might be. And then we look at the biggest challenge in that movement. And we've been keeping track of these challenges. And in a piece this difficult, we've been very intellectual about the way we've done that. We've been recording which measure numbers are the hardest and comparing those to other sections to maximize our rehearsal time in terms of when the students really do need me. Because some of these really complex challenges, they do need a seasoned professional like me to help them through that. But that's the moment where we give them those skills so that they can have those for the rest of their life and just add to them as they meet other conductors and other musicians who give them the tricks of the trade to make things better.
You know, it sounds kind of clinical, you know, this
it does.
Breaking down the piece, but I can see you're also breaking down fear of the piece.
Very well put.
By doing it.
Very well put. And by giving young people the skills and methods to delve into that without fear, that's a great lesson, isn't it? I often say that I teach music because of all these other life skills that it brings with us. So I love how you put that. I think I'm going to take that from you.
Be my guest.
We get past the fear. That's wonderful.
Now, if listeners are excited about this piece, which again is coming up Thursday at noon at First United Methodist Church downtown on Bronson Park, but may have difficulty getting to that performance, there's another opportunity to hear at least some of it. And that's part of another pretty exciting program, the Collage Concert that Portage Northern puts on. And what are the dates for that?
Those will be this December 18th and 20th. And that is a wonderful concert featuring all of the orchestras, all of the bands, and all of the choirs at Portage Northern High School in an evening event that we'll just, it's always a showstopper. It's a wonderful opportunity. And we will be performing two of these movements from the Mass at that event with Caitlin Spencer as the soprano soloist and our jazz combo.
Mm. Are they evening concerts?
They are. They are evening concerts. And you can find out more information by calling our box office, which is the Portage Northern High School Auditorium box office at 269-323 5470. And you may leave a message at that number and somebody will be able to help you.
Again, that's 269-323-5470. This Thursday's performance is free and open to the public. Starts at noon at First United Methodist Church. What are some things we didn't quite get to that we can include here at the end of our conversation?
I just would like to leave the thought that students are so amazing, and young people, young human beings are so amazing. And I think when we present them with a challenge, they will rise to that challenge and to meet our expectations. If you have low expectations of somebody, 9 times out of 10, they will meet you right there. And I feel that the same is true when you set the bar very, very high. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity for our community to come together and see young people doing exactly what we want them to do, doing the right thing, putting beauty out into the world, and doing so with partners from other generations and with our community partners like First United Methodist Church. It's just a wonderful thing to celebrate, I think, and we hope that you'll be able to join us for this special community celebration.
I should make one last note, and that is WMUK will be there to record the performance, and we hope to get a good recording and bring it to listeners on WMUK radio later on.
We are so excited for that.
Yeah, me too. Well, thank you so much, Robert, for coming in, and why don't you set us up with one last movement from the Mass in Blue?
I think what we should look at the final movement, the Agnus Dei. The sixth movement begins with the band restating the main theme of this Mass in Blue, and the solo soprano introduces the Agnus Dei. Now, there are some variations added, and then also, Will Todd thought that the text ends quite somberly in the Agnus Dei, as well it should, but he wanted to end the work in an uplifting way. So he brings back parts of the Credo to bring the Mass to an exuberant conclusion.
Well, let's hear what we can. And thanks again, Robert.
Thank you so much.